Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, and as a trained and certified Christian mindset coach, I've helped hundreds of Christian women discover brain science-based mindset tools to help them grow closer to God and break free from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and feeling like they're never enough. The Christian Mindset Coach is the award-winning podcast that shows you how to use simple brain science principles and biblical truth to renew your mind for lasting confidence, joy, and peace. I'm so glad you're here. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of The Christian Mindset Coach with me, Alicia Michelle. One of the most frustrating things that I believe about being human is that we have limitations. We have boundaries around our time. We have boundaries around our body. We have limits on what we can accomplish in terms of just goals and ideas. I mean, we can have these plans, but there are limitations that are even out of our control. Sometimes there's limits on how fast or how slow life seems to be happening in a given season, and that brings frustration. There are limits everywhere we look. Even though we feel and are told repeatedly in our culture that we are limitless. So it's very easy to begin to resent those very natural things that God has put into our life, known as limits and boundaries. For example, when I was a younger mom and I had kids who were toddlers, I couldn't wait for them to be old enough to be able to go get their own drink, to be able to make their own food. You know, same kind of thing. And then when they're that age, you can't wait for them to be able to drive themselves to practices so that you're not driving them everywhere. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And we find ourselves longing for something that's outside of what we have right now. And if we're not careful, that can become really toxic as a mindset. And so I really have over the years struggled with this concept. And I was so grateful when I saw this new book by my friend Sarah Hegarty that came out called The Gift of Limitations. And just from reading some of Sarah's other books and knowing a little bit about her story, I knew she had some great things to say about this. And so I wanted to invite her on the show to be able to talk a little more about this. So here's a little bit about Sarah. She is a best-selling author and Jesus follower. She's written 4 books, including her most recent release, The Gift of Limitations, Finding Beauty in Your Boundaries. Despite laundry baskets overflowing and unending to-do lists, Sarah still squeezes in her early morning runs, walks through the woods next to her house with the children of hers still little enough to collect acorns, and reading pages and paragraphs of books in the middle minutes. She lives in Missouri with her husband, Nate, and 7 children. And you can learn more about Sarah. I'll give her information at the end so you can connect with her. But as you'll hear from our conversation, she has a lot of really interesting perspectives about her own journey that she has seen and felt that frustration of a limitation, but what the Lord has taught her in terms of how to embrace them, and even words like grief come up in this conversation. So it's a really good one. Check it out. Here's that conversation with Sarah Hegarty. Sarah, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Alicia.
Yeah. Well, I have been a fan of your books for a long time. I love how you share about important topics, but you share about them with this really beautiful kind of a poetic side as you're speaking. And I feel like your latest book was not an exception to that. It was definitely an important topic about talking about boundaries and limitations. And so I'm grateful that we get to share about that today and hopefully give some women some new ideas and some freedom in this area as we move forward. So let's start first by talking about some of the pressures that we feel to achieve everything, to be limitless, to life hack our way. I mean, I feel like they're well-intended in their mm-hmm. pursuit, but how does that work against God's call for us to be centered in a specific season and to have specific boundaries around our paths?
You know, I heard someone say this week, and I can't quote the source, but that Jesus moved at 3 miles an hour. Mm. I think the challenge that we have in our current culture is that there's a lot of unnamed pressure that's just there, and it's always there. I pick up my phone, and I can see new things to do in my house, new things to do with my kids, ways to grow my marriage, ways to take care of my health, and ways to mitigate against aging, like in 5 minutes.
Right, right.
And those things are often passively working their way into my mind and subtly enabling me to feel like, well, I can optimize everything. But yet, if I look at the life that Jesus called me to, is it really a life of optimization? I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. And if I really want to follow his ways, what was his pace? It certainly isn't the pace of 2024.
Yeah. But interesting you use the word optimization, because we are called to optimize our life, but in a very specific way. I mean, obviously growing in him, growing for him. And we can get that confused, like you said, by these messages that we receive all day.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what gets muddy is we are, in, you know, called to run a good race and be very intentional about our race. But then there we have, you know, in the word in James telling us, consider it pure joy when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces. So we have this wrestle inside of us of the call to a life of excellence. But then what does the Bible actually tell us a life of excellence is? In many ways, God brings us back to that understanding through our limitations, through the things that we subtly resent. He is teaching us, even when our minds aren't teaching us. Yeah. Our minds might be moving in inertia towards a worldly optimization. And the thing that I'm resenting the most right now, whether it's my sick kid or my sick parent or my sick body or my too small paycheck, that actually could be the gift of God slowly ushering me into a boundary that is pleasant.
Mm. Yeah, you talk a lot about boundaries in this book, and specifically you give this analogy of a fence line and how you have learned to discover this freedom within the fence line of a boundary. So I really resonated with something you said around this in one of the chapters. You said that this kind of a fence line is more than just a plastic gratitude over silent resentment about my limitations. Because I think we think, okay, yes, God gave me a boundary. He's going to use it in my life and I'm going to grow. And we can, like you said, put this little plastic veneer over it. But underneath, there is bitterness growing and this seething happening. So it's like, talk to us about that and how it really is possible to find that freedom within the fence line.
I think the first step is really actually just naming our limitations, like being outright, naming them and starting to notice their impact on us. A lot of times we work around them without ever naming them. We put a lot of energy towards working around our limitations, towards hurdling that fence line. And I think one of the first things we need to do is actually go, you know, the fact that my body is sick right now is a limitation. The fact that I actually can't take that next step in my career that I've really been desiring to take because of XYZ, I'm in a city that's not optimal for that, or I really want to defer to my husband's job right now, or I do have a child that I can't tend to because of XYZ, or that I need to tend to and can't do this. Once we begin to name that limitation, then I think the next step is starting to notice our responses to it. And when I look at my own life, I see, okay, what I do with my limitations is I work very hard to overcome them. I spend a lot of energy overcoming them or seeking to overcome them.
Right.
But the gift of God in our limitations, I think oftentimes starts with grieving them. Mm-hmm. It starts with naming and going, I think the way out of resentment that I just know very few people who don't live with some form of subtle resentment or bitterness. Sure. And the way out of that is actually naming them and grieving them. Grief is such a strange thing. And we sort of go, well, grieving is for like the capital S suffering. Well, no, maybe grieving is that you didn't get the promotion you wanted, or that you have this profound dream that you've been sitting on for a long time and the doors are not opening. Maybe it's grieving that you've had, you know, 3, 4, 5 opportunities and one thing or another has prevented them from coming to fruition. There's a power in our grief.
Yeah. And grief is something, like you said, it's kind of awkward. It's we don't know how to do it. Icky. Yeah. I mean, and we're taught too at the same time that we're supposed to just be joyful and to keep going to joy. So it's almost like grief seems counterintuitive to that, but I agree with you. It is the path to a deeper joy, a deeper abiding in God, and understanding how to get through a specific season without just kind of veneering it with fake gratitude, things like that.
Yeah, so the veneer is real. And I think we do that. None of us really want to do that.
Yeah.
But I do think we don't really have a category for grief.
Mm-mm.
It feels awkward and clunky. Like you said, it feels awkward. And I think it also feels we're so afraid that we're going to just get stuck in our grief or get stuck sort of licking our wounds that we don't actually give credence like the word does. I mean, essentially, you know, the Bible gives us lanes for our emotions in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Those psalmists have a lot of emotion and they have a lot of grief. And so God has given us lanes. We're just so scared that if we go there, we're going to get stuck and never get out. But the truth is, grief is actually the avenue to joy. I mean, I don't know. Personally, in my life, I see it in the word that we want to skip steps and we hear, consider it pure joy when you face trials and many times. And we're like slapping ourselves, splashing water on our face, going, be joyful. Mm. When there actually is a process of grief that brings us into a greater joy. And some of that related to our limitations is naming our limitations, noticing our responses to them, and then giving ourselves permission to grieve them.
Definitely. I agree. Definitely agree on that idea of grief. We talk about in my courses and in coaching, we talk a lot about acknowledgement as the very first step to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But acknowledging it, and I would say the same thing for grief too, that acknowledging it with curiosity and compassion versus acknowledging it and condemning ourselves for having it. Like, okay, why do I feel so angry about this? Well, let's just see it. And then let's let God speak to it and have compassion for it first so we can move through it versus just yelling at ourselves for having it at all.
Absolutely. And I think that's the tenderness that God carries towards. Like when we, in some ways, we get to have the gift of walking out how God cares for us in the way that we respond to ourselves. Like, yeah, of course, that door closed. You're going to be sad.
Yes.
And it's going to take you a minute before you're ready to go pursue the next thing.
Right.
And you're going to wonder and question if you have what it takes to do something. Mm-hmm. So take a minute to grieve and to find God holding you there. Because I think it's actually in that being held that we experience, you know, Psalm 34:18 says God is near to the brokenhearted. And we're thinking the big heartbreaks of our lives, but there are little ones all along. I mean, I would say almost even weekly or daily.
Sure.
And he's going, I just want to be near to that in you.
Yes. So another side of this that you brought up, which to me was just definitely a shining a light in something on me, was the idea of unexamined daydreaming. And this concept being that we have these thoughts about the future that they seem innocent, but we can let them run wild and unchecked, and they can grow into resentment, into anger. And how do we balance those ideas of seeing something beyond the moment, but not letting them become this toxic pattern where it's keeping us so that we're resenting the boundaries and limitations of a season?
Right. That's such a good question. I think being open to evaluating our thoughts is probably a key step. You know, we have 6,000 thoughts in a day. So what researchers would say, we are forever moving our schedules, trying to tweak our task load. We're working to develop better systems to get things done and accomplish our goals. But oftentimes there's a real estate in our heads that we just don't even look at. I mean, could it be that I'm feeling especially tight in my capacity, not necessarily because my schedule won't allow for it, but because my mind is filled with a lot of unexamined thoughts?
Yeah.
And so I think one way to address this daydreaming is to start to bring some of those thoughts into the light and bring them before God. And really look at what's happening here. You know, for me, I always tell my husband, like, I was the person who was wired to have 2 children 4 years apart. And we have 7 kids. And they're, you know, I'm going to be raising kids until I'm 65.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I can find that in the back of my mind, there's just a subtle reach for when things are going to get quieter. I'm an introvert. I really am. And I'm surrounded by people. And I don't mean even in my community. I literally mean like under my roof and in my kitchen. And so I can find myself subtly reaching for the day when things are quieter, when we don't have a screamer, or when people can tie their own shoes. And if I don't examine those thoughts, they drive me.
Yeah.
But if I stop and go, oh, I'm sitting here resenting my limitations this is a moment for me to sit with God, then the air, it sucks the air out of it. It takes the power out of the daydream.
Right.
Then I think as we get into more of a practice of that, just in, you know, for me, it's a couple times a day sitting down with a couple minutes of quiet and examining the last few hours of my thoughts with the word. And as we get into a pattern of that, I think then we start to notice what are the daydreams that are actually really godly? What are the daydreams that he wants us to foster? Right. That are the dreams of his heart that he's put in us? And what are the ways that our resentment toward their limitation has gone sideways and we're just giving it more power by daydreaming?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, daydreams can lead us to hope, or they can lead us ultimately to despair if we let them show us something that we think is better than what is happening right now, yeah. Like you were saying.
And I think just the older I get, the more that I'm finding, I know a lot less about where my story is going than I thought.
Amen. Amen.
And there's a real freedom in beginning to accept this is not actually a choose your own adventure. And I don't, or maybe in some ways it is. I don't know if the analogy could break down, but I have some say, but there's a story that's unfolding that is more from maybe my watching and my observation than my like pulling all the right strings to make it go. And I feel like the more that I lean into accepting there's a story I get to watch and participate in, the more that I feel like my daydreams align with God's.
Alicia here. If you're tired of feeling never enough, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stay stuck in the exhaustion of perfectionism, people-pleasing, or trying to prove yourself worthy. What if I told you there's a secret weapon for rewiring your mind to align with God's truth? The proven brain science tool that pro athletes have used for decades and that I've been using with hundreds of Christian women to break free from this idea of feeling never enough. I want to tell you all about it at this workshop, Break Free from Never Enough. Yes, you can find healing from a lifetime of worry, of shame, and striving. Sign up for the Break Free from Never Enough workshop at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. This workshop is absolutely free. Why wouldn't you join me? Pick a workshop time that works for you at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. Yes, for sure. I was reading in our Bible study this week, and there was a concept that was just ties right in perfectly to what you're talking about. And it was saying that empires, like worldly empires, work by striving and pushing and just achieving. Like they're always scratching to build and to grow. Mm-hmm. But kingdoms of God, kingdoms of the Lord, like us, children, daughters, and sons of God, we are resting and receiving that. We are opening space for God to work and letting him bring.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that interesting? Like that.
And he could do that for a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always. So for me, that's that place of always asking, am I scratching and striving for the next thing? Or am I just sitting as a daughter who has inherited all of the kingdom, as we all have? Am I sitting and waiting to receive from him?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Right.
You know, I think of it. It is the fence line analogy I use in the book. Like we all have a piece of property. Right. And if honest, we spend a lot of time looking over the picket fence that's around our property and looking at neighbors and looking beyond when we can finally get beyond it. And we claw under it. We scratch underneath it. We do what I mean, we're kind of like my brand new puppy trying to get out of any confinement that she has. Yeah. And yet that there's something that happens when we enter into a process. I don't think we can wish ourselves here or skip steps to get here. I think it really is a process of naming our limitations, noticing our responses, grieving our limitations, and then eventually moving towards accepting the story that God has. Mm-hmm. There's something that happens where you start to go, wow, this grass underneath my feet is beautiful and it's lush. And I didn't know that I have a willow in my yard. Yeah. And look at that brand new nest. Like it's there. And goodness, and there's baby birds in it. Like, I think there is a discovery of the life that he has given us that is that, like you describe, a restful receiving. And that can even happen. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I think that discovery, that restful receiving can happen in the most pressing, stressful times. I think it's available to us.
So let's talk about that. What has been your experience moving through this process? Can you share a time when you felt like you were really scratching under the fence, so to speak, and you had to be led a different direction from the Lord?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are stories that I put in the book. For me personally, years of infertility were a part of my story. And I watched people pass through what was a rite of passage for them, but had a do not enter sign for me. And I tried everything in my power to get there and I couldn't. And I started to realize that the way through was grieving what I didn't have, which is messy and it's painful. And grief doesn't have boundary lines. Like, grief comes at uncomfortable times. It takes over sometimes. Sometimes when you want to grieve, you can't.
Yeah.
It's not linear. But in the grieving of that, I started to receive that that was my story and it felt a lot lighter. Like, I remember feeling like I've tried everything I know to do to not accept that this is my story. And once I began to actually accept that this was my story, my life just felt lighter. And the grief was still there. So I think about that. But then I think about even real time, you know, after I turned in my manuscript for this book, the month after, I found out I had Lyme disease.
Oh.
Write about that in the book, which is
draconic. Oh, my gosh.
Right? Mm-hmm. I have it and my son has it. My husband also has it.
Oh, wow.
And we just tested everybody we could. Yeah. So what was so interesting is I had written this book and then I thought, now I'm going to live it again and see if it's true. Like, are these words true that if I can name how I feel about my limitations and grieve them with God, that I'm going to find a way through that is still a way of life, even if I'm not healed of Lyme. And I'm still very much praying that I would be healed of Lyme. We're taking a lot of steps for me to be. But real time, this summer, especially, I experienced just intense fatigue. And it was like the Lord going, I'm going to meet you here. There was a phrase that my best friend says to me often that has just been in my head for years, which is slower still. I'm just a fast paced person.
Yeah,
right. Just I like to accomplish every day, put more on my list than what I can actually accomplish. Like, yes. It's just how I work. And yet there is, like you described in the kingdom, there is a currency of rest and receiving that I actually feel like it's the most life-giving. And so here I am with Lyme, laying in bed, heavy fatigue, feeling like I'm, you know, 80, and hearing the whisper, slower still, and going, you like me. I mean, just having this sense, you like me when I'm unproductive, God. When I'm slow, you're not frustrated with me. You knew that this moment would happen. And when things are slow, I mean, here I am in bed and I'm noticing I love the tree line behind our house. I love it. I love the way that it looks when the sun sets. I love hearing my kids play outside, like their squeals when the windows are open. I love reading a book when I really can't do anything else but read a book. There's just a lot to be had in falling into God's pace for us.
Yeah. If we don't think about that those are pleasures too. We think just accomplishing and doing. I mean, we get into that habit, at least I do. We get into that habit of thinking, this is my path, just checking boxes and doing the things. And sometimes the true life is slowing down enough, whether forced or not, to be able to enjoy those other sides of ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think he does that. We can't even will that sometimes.
No.
Does it? But I write about in the book, I did a productivity fast. I played a little game with myself because I like to do this, just kind of see if I, for 30 days or for 2 months, if I really limit how productive I am, like choose the most productive hours of my day and whittle my task list down. And instead of just being uber productive during that time, I'm going to take walks in the woods. I'm going to read poetry. I'm going to read novels. I'm not even going to like study the Bible. I mean, I study the Bible at other times, but I'm not even going to do something that feels like I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah.
And during that time, it was like a psychosocial experiment of me just going, how do I think God sees me? And really realizing, like, I like me better when I'm strong and productive. I like that version of me the best.
Yeah.
I like when I'm accomplishing things, but like when I get quiet and slow and minimize my productivity, does God actually see me different?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe moving more like the 3 miles an hour pace that he is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Right. I think there's actually, I actually get to see how much he enjoys me independent of what I'm producing during those times. It actually was super fruitful. I found during that time, like, a real delight in childlike things that I had never in my adult life given myself permission to really delight in because there's just too much to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a great experiment that we could all do. But the thing is, as we keep coming back to is, and this is just part of the Christian life, we have to choose to step into the discomfort. Mm-hmm. It is easier to stay in the busy and to not take a productivity fast like you're talking about. It's easier to ignore the grief and to just be resentful. There's so many times when discipline and choosing the harder road because you know that's where God's going to find you is what we have to choose. And that can be hard.
And sometimes I think it's the gift of aging or getting older as you start to have seen seasons of your life where you rocked it and you didn't have a ton of limitations and you accomplished things. And you look back or even look introspectively then and go, am I really deeply happy?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Right.
It's crazy to me to think of some of the most pressing times of my life have also included some of the greatest joy.
Mm-hmm. And for sure.
That feels like quite a paradox that I'm not super comfortable with, but seems to be the case in the kingdom of God.
Awesome. Well, just to kind of close our conversation, what is something that you hope women will gain after reading your book and understanding this concept of having limitations as a gift?
I would hope that they would be able to see that the things that they've been resenting and the weaknesses in themselves and in their story and in their day could actually have tucked inside of them real gold. Mm. That the things that they have been trying to overcome maybe weren't intended to be overcome right now, but submitted to.
Yes. Yeah.
That inside the, I would hope that women would find the willow tree inside their fence line. They would start to see that there's just a beauty inside of the story that God has given them, that if we're honest, most of us feel extremely limited in the story that God has given us. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have 7 kids and Lyme disease to feel limited. And I think...
Sorry, I just put the two of those together, 7 kids and Lyme disease. Oh my gosh.
Yep. You write a book on limitations and this is the Lord lets you live there.
Wow.
But I think, if we took a poll, all of our friends and neighbors would say they feel extremely limited right now.
Definitely.
And the hope is that people listening would go, oh, wait, I have been hating this part of my life, putting untold amounts of energy towards getting this boulder to move. But actually, maybe it's not supposed to.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And we're appreciative of all that you're doing with this book. So tell us where ladies can get the book and learn more about the work that you do.
Yes, the book is called The Gift of Limitations. You can get it anywhere where books are sold. If purchased before it comes out, we have some sweet, fun pre-order gifts. I am on Instagram at Sarah Hagerty Writes, but I also write more regularly on Substack.
Mm-hmm.
Find me at substack.sarahhagerty. And that is a private space, but it's a place that I'm a little bit more candid and I write a lot more frequently.
So thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
I hope you check out Sarah's book and I hope you learn more about the work that she does. As I said in the beginning of that interview, I feel like she has the ability not only to learn and share these deep God concepts, so to speak, but she speaks in such a beautiful poetic way than how she describes things in her writing. So it's a treat to read her works. But I was thinking about boundaries more this week as I was getting ready for this interview and talking to Sarah, and I was at the beach. And I remember standing on the shore and seeing the waves crashing in and thinking about how if we have water in a glass and we spill the water and it runs on a table, it's going to keep going, right? It moves. But eventually there comes to a point where the water, based on physics that I don't understand, the water will stop moving and it will stay in the same spot. And that concept somehow also equated to seeing the ocean waves. You know, the ocean as it's going back and forth, it's breaking on the sand and then it's receding back and it's breaking and then it's receding back. And throughout the day, even the amount of space, so to speak, that water is given as it is breaking, the ocean is given as it is breaking on the sand, it changes with the tides. There are times when the water is really high. We call it high tide, and times when it's low, and that's low tide. But the boundaries of the water, for the most part, stay the same. And we can build houses up against the side of the mountaintops overlooking the ocean because we know that the water isn't going to rise, for the most part, again, bearing no tsunamis or crazy things. It's not going to rise and infringe on that, that God puts boundaries in place in nature like this. And that even those boundaries in nature, like with the ocean, it moves within that boundary where sometimes it exceeds a little bit beyond it and a little bit underneath it. But that as we think about nature and how we are created, we are part of this created world. Now we are the highest level in that creation, as the Bible says, and we are told to rule and reign over this creation. But we can learn a lot, even about boundaries, from how God created this world. And so as you think about boundaries this week and think about limitations, the things that feel like are just cramping, so to speak, putting a cramp on that part of your life that you wish would grow faster or would change or you'd have relief from. Think about if there is a picture in nature of that idea of boundaries being helpful, boundaries being a good thing, and how the growth can happen within those boundaries for how he is set up in nature and even for ourselves. I know that these can be tricky conversations with God because, like we were talking about, it involves things like grief, and it does require us to enter into perhaps something that's a little bit more painful than just kind of sitting in the boundaries. It's always easier to just sit there and just, like, you know, keep living in the space versus addressing what's really going on in this. But I encourage you to lean into God and to trust. This may be an opportunity for you that he has given you as a gift to grow deeper in him. I mean, I can't tell you how many women, and I would say almost 99% probably of the women that I work with as Christian women wanting to grow in these areas of their lives, they always say, I want to grow closer to God. And if we can somehow begin to understand that that closeness to God comes within the boundaries, within learning to ask him to help us in these places versus trying to push beyond them, I think we could all have a lot more peace. And like Sarah was describing, be able to kind of let go of some stuff as we're in the middle of these places that feel kind of confined and small. So if this episode was helpful for you, will you share it with a friend? Will you let someone else know about this great book that Sarah's put out, which is called The Gift of Limitations? And will you share this episode? You can go to Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you listen and click on that share button and send it to a friend who needs this kind of encouragement. Maybe you know someone who's living in a time who feels really stuck by her boundaries, and this could be just what she needs to be able to get that encouragement. So I encourage you to do that. And also, if this is helpful for you to be able to hear episodes like this every week, it makes a huge difference for us here at the podcast if you could leave a 5-star rating and review. This allows the algorithms of these podcast channels to be able to recognize that we are a podcast that's growing and that there are people are loving the content that we have here. And so it shows it to more people. And it just also provides that extra social proof so that we can continue to, as people check out the podcast, to say, hey, this is a good place to listen and to learn and grow in Christ. So if you have not done that, will you take 2 seconds and do that right now in your podcast player? All right, friend. Thank you so much for being here with me. I will see you back here next week for our episode. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me today for the Christian Mindset Coach. If you love today's show, you've got to check out my free mindset workshop. In this free training, I share about the secret weapon for rewiring our brain to align with God's truth, the proven brain science tool that pro athletes and high achievers have used for decades. I've personally helped hundreds of Christian women use this tool to find healing from a lifetime of worry, shame, and striving. And I'd love to help you use this tool in your life as well. Sign up now for this free training at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you back here next week.